So as I was trying to figure out what to talk about this week, a number of things came to my attention, and they all bear on one subject, and the subject is tolerance. So let's talk about tolerance. For those of you who pay attention to politics, there's a guy named Charlie Crist who is running against Ron DeSantis for governor of Florida. And he came out and said, "I don't want any of you hateful Republicans voting for me. Go away. What I want is good Republicans, whatever they are, and good Democrats. But you hateful ones, don't vote for me." Then the governor of New York says to Republicans, "Get out of town because you don't represent our values. Go find some other state to live in." Then I read, reading Doug Wilson, he's written a book called The Cultural Mind, which I have not read, but he posts little quotes from it on his blog. So this is one of them. "Because the possibility of any kind of creedal discipline," and Calvinists are creedal people, which is to say, we got this creed, and if you don't follow our creed, then you're out of town. You need to understand his context. We don't do creeds. He does, and that's fine. Anyway, "because the possibility of any kind of creedal discipline is negligible in our day," in other words, nobody exercises church discipline anymore, "those who have abandoned the gospel," key there, abandoned the gospel, "are now openly seeking to make their distinctive into negotiable items and want to be held by all as being within the pale." In other words, they've abandoned the gospel, but they want to be considered part of the church. "Thus, we do not have to agree with them, but we do have to agree to disagree." Has anybody heard "we have to agree to disagree"? "Thus, we do not have to agree with them, but we do have to agree to disagree, and to do so as fellow evangelicals. They do not resist disagreement. In fact, they welcome it. But the disagreement must come in the form of continuing dialogue, not in the form of showing them the door." So, having to do with tolerance. Moses talks about tolerance extensively in today's Torah portion. I will read you a passage. "If your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your father, or the wife you embrace, or your friend who is as your own soul, entices you secretly, saying, 'Let us go and serve other gods,' which neither you nor your fathers have known, some of the gods of the peoples who are around you, whether near you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him, but you shall kill him." Serious tolerance there, right? So let me give you some quotes on tolerance. There are hundreds of them out there, and these are two on each side, because tolerance, like everything else, is not an absolute, and that's what we're talking about here. So on the plus side, tolerance is the oil which takes the friction out of life, by somebody named William Shear, whom I don't know. Good quote, I like that. "Tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society." That's Aristotle. Y'all know who Aristotle was, right? "Tolerance is the virtue of the man without convictions." G.K. Chesterton. And then on the plus side, so I've done one plus, two negative, let me do a plus. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So, two and two, positive and negative on tolerance, which is to say that tolerance, like everything, can be a good thing, and tolerance, like everything, can be a bad thing. And I'm sort of in the camp right now that tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society. That's sort of where I am right now. But understand that it's gray. Speaking of gray, the other thing I'm doing is I finished reading a book by a guy named James Kugel, and I've talked about it before. It's called The God of Old. Quite a good book. Recommend it. He is a Semitic languages scholar, teaches at Harvard and at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Very bright guy. He's written a number of books, all of which I have enjoyed. But he talks about the Bible as the people who were there perceive it. One of his little essays in this book is that Scripture is stark. And what he means by that is you're either righteous or you're wicked. Nothing in between. And he uses an example which I very much like. He talks about cartoons. And you've all seen cartoons, depending on your age. You know, my age, it was Bugs Bunny. I don't know what it is today, but you've all seen cartoons. The thing about cartoons is they are stark. You have righteous mouse and evil cat. You have righteous roadrunner and evil coyote. And all the colors are primary colors, and there's no shadow or shade. It's the bunny is righteous, the hunter is evil. And he says Scripture is very much like that. It's stark. And the problem that we all have is people are not stark. We are sort of gray. We have all sorts of nuances in there. And what happens with our nuances, and that goes back to Doug Wilson's comment on we have to all agree to disagree. Let me give you another Doug Wilson quote from the same book, The Cultural Mind. We see the lying ways in which we handle our laws, wanting them to be as slippery as our hearts. And what that is a commentary on the human heart, which is slippery. The human heart rejects the stark, either all good or all bad. We sort of want to be judged as in between and gray. And Scripture isn't that way. Now, one of the things that happens in our society is there are people, lots of them, who say you can be a good person without believing in God. There's a Hebrew word for that. It's baloney. Humans need an external source of authority. Because what happens when we invent our own sources of authority is we're slippery. And we'll write down these things with high-sounding phrases, but we won't keep up with them. And furthermore, when we are in large groups, we do things like vote to legalize infanticide. That's one of the things that's going on in the United States right now. New York, I think Virginia, Colorado, probably California, I mean, they lead everything, basically say that killing children is just fine up to, you know, several minutes after they're born. That's human slipperiness. And what God says is, don't murder. Very black and white. Don't do that. So what we have is our human desire collides with the starkness of God and the starkness of the Word. And we don't like it. That's where we come to tolerance. Yeshua is talking about tolerance also. He says, the world is going to hate you because the world hates me. And the reason the world hates me is because they don't know my Father. The point of all of our readings today has to do with this idea of tolerance. And what Moses says is, with respect to concepts in God's laws, don't be tolerant. If they're trying to drag you away from God to something else, tolerance is not the appropriate response there. Yeshua is saying it the other way. What he's saying is, if you walk in my ways and abide with me, the world is not going to tolerate you. That's what he's saying. So let's talk about tolerance. I gave you four quotes, two positive on tolerance and two negative on tolerance. And what we have is the question of not whether tolerance is good or bad. The question is, what are we to tolerate? It's not whether, but which. It's just not whether you're supposed to be tolerant or not, but which things are you supposed to be tolerant of? Now, what Satan is really, really good at is confusing things. He's exceptional at it. It's one of his specialities. So let's take, for example, the Torah. And Moses says, you shall not oppress the stranger, the sojourner, the orphan, or the widow. remember that you used to be a stranger in a strange land, and what they did to you, you didn't like it, so don't do it to anybody else. In other words, just because somebody is strange doesn't mean that you shouldn't tolerate them. Black and white, very clear. So, we have these people who do strange things, but the strange things that they're doing are forbidden in the Word. But what our society says is, wait a minute, your scripture says don't get upset and you must tolerate strange people. But those strange people are doing things that God, but no, it doesn't matter. You got to tolerate these strange people because your scripture says tolerate the stranger. What it is verbal jujitsu. By the way, for those of you who don't know jujitsu, it's a Japanese martial art. And the whole idea of jujitsu is you use the strength of your opponent against him. So if he charges, what you do is you sort of step aside and then push and use his strength to drive him into a wall or something like that. It's the whole art is very fluid and slippery. And the idea is you use your opponent's strength against him. And that's what Satan is doing here. They take the words that God says and they flip them and they make them apply to something that they don't apply to. And that goes back to our quote from Doug Wilson. We must agree to disagree. We must be tolerant. And what happens when society is tolerant at the end of the run, which I think we probably may be, is that very tolerance is used to draw you away from God. Because the things that you are asked to tolerate are things that God says are an abomination. And so what happens is you've got to decide whether to live in this society and be tolerant like it demands that you be, or whether you follow what God says to do. So where we are right now is our society has claimed tolerance as the ultimate virtue. But what sin does, and Satan does, it's again one of his specialities, is when the society is virtuous and the sinful are in the minority, what they proclaim is the virtue of tolerance. When the society finally drifts over to where Satan is trying to drag it, then tolerance ceases to become a virtue. Remember, I started off with quotes from two elected politicians. Republicans, get out of the state. Your values do not match ours. Real tolerance, because they're in the majority. Once they get to a certain critical mass, then tolerance doesn't apply anymore. It is a verbal jujitsu trick. Now, I am certainly not suggesting that everybody run out and grab stones and go find somebody to stone. We are in exile. We don't live in Israel. We don't live under a biblical kingdom. We are, in a sense, sojourners. So running around randomly stoning people, as fun as that might sound, is not one of the things that we get to do. But what you can do is you can recognize that what they're trying to do is draw you away from God by calling you to abandon his standards. And again, that's what Yeshua says in the gospel. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, abide in me, which is stay with me, which is to say, follow my word. And what the world is trying to do is say, no, that's harsh, that is stark, that's hateful. What they do. And it's jujitsu, because what Yeshua is saying is the world is going to hate you. What the world is saying is, you hate us, you hater. He's using the strength of believers, which is the word, against them by twisting the words. How many times have you heard, and it was very popular back when I was in the Sunday church, judge not, you can't judge me, judge not, like a bunch of parrots. Well, Scripture doesn't say don't judge. What the Scripture says is don't use different standards on the people that you're judging than you use on yourself. Variation of don't look at your brother and see the mote in his eye when you got a plank in your own eye. Get the plank out of your eye first, and then you can see to help your brother with the speck in his eye. The whole thing has to do with hypocrisy. It doesn't have to do with suspension of judgment or justice. It says use the same standards for everyone, to include yourself very much. It's the same thing with tolerance. It's not whether, it's which. Tolerance can be a virtue, but it's also possible to use tolerance as a weapon against us, which is where we are now.